Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Atlanta's a very talented team. You know, they have guys that, you know, all over the place on offense. They have great receivers. They have great tight ends. You know, their O-line is playing solid. And, you know, they have a great running back and great quarterback. So, you know, all we have to continue to do is do what we do. You know, we gotta continue to make it more about us and just make sure that we playing the way we capable of playing. We following our keys and we doing everything we can to be the best defense in the NFL.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Chicago Bears defensive tackle, nose tackle, now that Eddie Goldman has opted out, Bilal Nichols. We talked to him on Friday. He was breaking down the Atlanta Falcons a little bit. And he is absolutely correct about that offense. But, guys, I'll tell you what, Calvin Ridley is a really good wide receiver. We'll see about Russell Gage. He's playing well early this season. But Julio Jones is a Hall of Famer. And Julio Jones did not practice all week with a hamstring problem. Don't know. Can't wait to hear the actives and inactives if he's able to go today. If Julio Jones goes, this is a absolutely huge test for this Bears defense that hasn't played up to its potential the first 2 weeks of the season, Patrick. But if Julio Jones doesn't go, you know, Todd Gurley has not looked like Todd Gurley for a while now. They haven't gotten the running game cranked up. And so to me, that's just a huge advantage for the Bears if Julio Jones is not on the flip. I mean, that's obvious, I know, but even more so than usual with this team, because as good as they've been on offense, their running game hasn't really scared you that much.
No, Hub, you're right, but Julio Jones has been, you know, hampered a little bit, I think, the past game and a half, and they're still putting up all the points and still putting up all those yards. So first I want to talk about Calvin Ridley. Wide receivers, I don't know that much about, but I do know when you turn on the tape, he has DBs tripping over themselves when he gets out of his break, guys flipping his hips, and he's getting separation, and he's wide open by 3 or 4 to 5 yards sometimes. So he's on the top of his game. He might be playing the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. It's just, he's fun to watch. He's a technician. So they still have that, and I think what I got it here, he has 239 yards this year already and 4 touchdowns. He's the main guy right now, and I think a lot has to do with Julio Jones being hurt. And then as far as Todd Gurley, there were 2 runs last week to the right side. One, he was trying to get the corner against Dallas, and you're right, that burst isn't there. He just can't get that corner. He can't get that extra 3 to 4 to 5 yards and, you know, stick the ball out by the first down yardage marker. Then there was another one, was just a wide zone where, if you remember the plays he would have with the Rams, that kind of zone would open up almost kind of laterally, and he would hit it with that burst and burst through there and get to the second level. He just doesn't have that, and it's not there, and it kind of looks like Danny Trevathan a little bit, like the burst is just in there like it's been in the past, but that bodes well for the Bears. But Calvin Ridley, man, that guy, he's the real deal right now, and that matchup against Jalen Johnson is going to be very, very good. It's also going to be good against Kyle Fuller as well, but I'm looking forward to seeing him go against the rookie.
Yeah, and when you take a look at this matchup-wise and what, if you want to say, the Bears defense has struggled with or a few things that you're watching is when they played against the Lions and they played against Frank Ragnow, he really controlled the middle of that Bears defensive line with Bilal Nichols, and now Jenkins is out. So something to watch for with Roy Robinson Harrison, Alex Mack, and O'Brien, who did an amazing job talking about the Falcons for us. Said he's getting a little older. He still is reaching guys pretty well on those outside zone and controlling the middle of that defensive line. So the Giants came in. They ran the same kind of scheme that the Lions ran, which is kind of a counter gap play with the guards pulling and countering the linebackers. And Trevathan has struggled reacting back. And before Saquon went out, that was his 18-yard run he had. And he was averaging 7 yards a carry before he got hurt. So the Bears defense, I'm still watching that middle of that defense with the way Trevathan has been struggling. Bilal Nichols has not been great in the middle of the line when they're running right at him. And now John Jenkins is out. And it's kind of a big matchup for them today. Something to really watch is Bilal Nichols versus Mack in the middle of that line. And can the Falcons control the game with their run game? Because like you guys said, the first couple of weeks, their run game hasn't really scared anybody. They go to they do like to throw the ball a lot, and who wouldn't with the weapons they have? But they do have Hayden Hurst, their tight end. Another thing that has given the Bears defense problems over the middle. So we'll see today. Watching those are the two things I'm watching, is the middle of this defense, because Hub and Pat, when you go back to it, the Bears front seven was where. Why haven't they been as dominating that we thought they were going to be? Is because you thought the front seven would dominate, and maybe we'll see a little bit more of Quinn on the field this week.
You know, Alan, it's interesting to me because you've mentioned Bilal Nichols a couple times the last few weeks, and I think Bilal Nichols is going to be a really good football player, and he was doing a nice job out at that five technique in the 30 base front, sometimes sliding inside but rarely playing over the center of the guard until Eddie Goldman opted out. Damon Snacks Harrison has been one of the best nose tackles in football for the last 7, 8, 9 years, had retired, announced this week he was coming out of retirement, and has been connected to the Seattle Seahawks and the Chicago Bears, as well as a few other teams, but allegedly the Seahawks and the Bears, the front runners in that chase. Snacks Harrison, now, you know, he's been around for a while, but at one point was a better nose tackle than even Eddie Goldman had ever been. And I would think with where this defense is at, that if they were able to bring him in, not only do they get better in the middle, but now they get better outside too, because Nichols is more comfortable out there. And you almost wonder, you know, why they haven't gotten that done yet. Now, you know, it appears to be a bit of a bidding war between Seattle and the Bears, and Harrison trying to decide where he wants to go. I think that's going to happen probably Monday or Tuesday. And so this game could easily be a referendum on Bilal Nichols as to whether he can. I talked to him Friday and I asked him, you know, Bilal, you weren't prepared for this. Eddie opted out just at the opening of training camp playing on the nose. Do you think maybe, do you wish you had an extra 10, 15 pounds of bulk? And he got a little sensitive. He said, you saying I'm not big enough? I said, no, you're huge, man. I'm just asking if you need to be bigger to play that position. And he kind of moved on from the question. So I would think that.
I wish I was there, Hub. I would have been like, yeah, that's exactly what we're saying.
I got your back.
That's exactly what we're saying, Bilal.
And you know what? When you say it, I respect it. When I say it, it's like, yeah, who's this little twerp? You know, it's. But the point would be, could this be the answer to this Bears defense being who we want them to be, is that there's a guy out there who can make you that much better. Should they be going all out to make sure he comes to Chicago and not Seattle?
Well, it's definitely a question, right, Pat? Because like we talked about before, Saquon got hurt, he's at 7 yards a carry. Adrian Peterson the week before is at 6.6 yards a carry, right? So they didn't give up a lot of – but they didn't give – basically, any, you know, only 13 points against the Giants. They gave us some points against the Lions, held up. But, you know, even late in the game, the Giants go on a 95-yard drive. I think they're on the 10-yard line to win the game. So you're just worried about this run game. And then here comes another test. And I think, Hub, our question is going to get answered today, because I've said this a lot already, and I'll say it again. I'm a big fan of Max. And if you let him, he'll control the middle of that line for the Atlanta Falcons, and they'll run power and counter until the Bears stop it today. So we'll see, because now, Pat, there's two games on film, and what you're struggling with, you're going to see a lot of today.
And that would be part of the problem with the linebackers as well, right? I mean, he's not being a space eater. And maybe, I hate to come back to you, Olin, but maybe you could explain to the listener why that is so important in this style of defense or any defense of a nose guard like a Ted Washington. I mean, he's one of the best ever. But a guy like that who's a quote-unquote space eater that can help everybody else do their job, and what makes it difficult on you as a center and a guard?
Well, if you talk about Ted Washington, they just well, first of all, they just keep you off the linebackers, right? Mm-hmm. And they just take up space, and the running back just looks like there's no hole there. So their only job is to keep the center and the guards off the linebackers, the double teams. And if you get a one-on-one block there, then you have to win. Your block destruction has to work. You have to use your hands. You got to press the center off of you and make the play. So you in the middle there, you have to demand a double team. And if you can't demand a double team and they can block you one-on-one and get up to the linebackers, then that's a big problem for this. The way these Bears, with their speed, quote-unquote speed athletic linebackers, the way they want to play defense in the middle is to keep the guys off Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan. And the reason why the counter plays have been working so well, the gap counter plays, is that Bilal Nichols is getting shoved into their lap and they can't see the ball coming. So they have to bubble over the top of him, and now they're just running downhill at the Bears. But here's a question I got for you guys, and we waited, and so I'll wait 5 or 6 weeks this year again. But I waited 5 or 6 weeks last year before I said, man, I think Kyle Long's got to consider retiring. Like, they got to consider replacing him, right? And then they went with Ted Larson and Coward. Danny Trevathan is on the way of me. Like, when I watch him play, Hub and Pat, it's almost the same consideration. But obviously you don't make a decision that early after two games. But you have to keep watching him, and they've taken him off of nickel already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Finneran brought it up, Olin, that, you know, once you get north of 30, 31, 32, football gets a lot harder. you got to train a little differently. You got to be it just gets harder. But my problem is then, who do you replace him with? You know, last year we had Nick Kwiatkowski, who went on to get a contract with the Raiders. But who's really behind him that you're going to feel comfortable with when you put him in there? I feel like that's a position where the guys behind him are true backups. You know what I mean? They're not the guys that are going to be stepping in as the fill-in guy for the next starter a year or two later on. So that discourages me of putting somebody in there that you feel comfortable with and saying, okay, well, if he's older, maybe this guy can play just as good, if not a little bit better, because he's younger. But I don't know. I just think there's a lot of question marks at the backup linebacker position.
Yeah, well, and I don't think there's any hiding from it. And the only thing that I've said would continue to say is that because Danny went down mid-season last year and didn't have an off-season, it's a year since he's played tackle football, and I'm hoping that this week, next week, that the muscle memory and everything kind of clicks in. But if it doesn't, he can't continue the way he's played the first 2 weeks. You're absolutely right. And this was a danger when they let both Kwiatkowski and Kevin Pierre-Lewis leave. You know, Patrick, the guy is Josh Woods, and mm-hmm. he's a bit undersized like Roquan Smith. They are very excited about him. The question is, can you get by with two undersized inside linebackers? And I don't really know the answer to that, but I think part of the answer is what Ol was just talking about. You're going to have to get a lot better in front of them if you want to get by with two undersized linebackers. So, guys, we got to take a quick break here because we have a very special – all of our guests on Where Are They Now are special, but this guy in particular, I haven't talked to him in years, but I can still picture him stalking the halls of Hallis Hall with that mustache hanging down to his ankles.
Grab your popcorn.
Offensive line coach Bob Wiley, good enough to spend some time with us today on Where Are They Now. This is going to be fun, guys. Do not move from your radio dial. We are back in just a minute with Bears pregame right here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. You have the Chicago Bears pregame show, the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show right here at 670 The Score. You can go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store right now. And it is time now for one of our favorite segments every week. It is Where Are They Now? And we now have a very special guest. I've been looking forward to this all week when Olin Patrick first suggested it. Bob Wiley has been coaching offensive linemen for 40 years, worked with 8 different NFL teams, including the New York Jets, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Arizona Cardinals, the Denver Broncos, the Oakland Raiders, the Cleveland Browns, and spent 5 years in the Dick Geron regime here in Chicago from 1999 to 2003. And is good enough to join us this morning. He also is the offensive line coach who developed my two co-hosts here, Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. And Bob, thank you so much for taking time out for us this morning. It's really good to get to visit with you again.
You're welcome, guys. How are we doing out there?
Well, we're hanging in there. We are trying to figure out right now if the Chicago Bears, undefeated at 2-0, are a really good football team, or if they're the shakiest 0-2 team we've ever seen, and spent a lot of time on that. And actually, a lot of the focus with this ball club has been around this offensive line, as they brought in a new offensive line coach this year in Juan Castillo. I'm guessing you and Juan's paths crossed more than once or twice during your years in the NFL. But first, we're more interested in catching up with Bob Wiley. You know, you've been working up in Canada for a little while. Hope that is going well for you. And tell us a little bit about the difference working up there as opposed to being in the NFL.
Well, let's go back to Juan. Juan was my intern. Juan was my intern when he, way back when I was with Tampa Bay. Juan was at Texas A&I at the time, and I went down there to work out one of the kids that ended up actually getting drafted by Green Bay. And, you know, we became friendly, and then we brought him over for 1 or 2 years. I can't remember now. He was my intern. And he also interned, God rest his soul, for Howard Mudd up in Seattle. So he's had some he's been well-trained, and then he had a really great run at it, over at Philly. He spent many years at Philly. And so he'll... You guys will do well with Juan there coaching the offensive line. The difference between the NFL and the CFL is really for the front guys, the box is the same. The box doesn't change. You're going to have, four guys in a box. They're going to have 6 guys in a box. They're going to have 5 guys in a box. They're going to have 7 guys in a box, okay? You know, we don't play with a lot of tight ends, so you always get a 5-man box. If you put an extra fullback in the game, a 6-man box, you put an extra fullback in the game, right, then they'll put the 7th guy in there. It's no different than the NFL. They got regular personnel on the field. They're going to try to get the safety involved someplace. And, they're always going to have one more than you can handle most of the time, so... you have to find out how to handle that guy in different ways. Up there, we run a lot of what the colleges do. A lot of those RPO stuff where we read the defensive end, where the quarterback's going to keep the ball, or we're going to hand it off, depending on what the defensive end does. Matter of fact, we got so detailed with it that we actually broke the defensive ends down there by 5 different ways they play the play, when we run the inside zone play from the offset back or even from the pistol. How does that defensive end play the play? Is he squeezing? Is he slow playing it? Is he coming to the mesh point? Is he going to feather it? How's he going to play it? We actually put that in a computer report. So we take the film off, we have an idea, on how he likes to play that. So we take that and we show it to the defensive end that's going to be our look team guy for the week. So he gives us the right read on it. So other than that, the only thing I change from going up to Canada from the NFL and the CFL, okay, the defensive line has to line up a yard off the ball. They're going to be a yard back, okay? So all I did, okay, is take the offensive line and move them up on the ball. That was it. That was it, you know. So, like in the NFL, we try to create that spacing, okay, by moving the guys back. So the defensive line, if they want to crowd the ball, we kind of just back up in certain plays. You know, I think we always said that if we're running the gap schemes, we want to be more on the ball and be a little tighter with our splits. If we're running the zone schemes, we want to be a little more off the ball, get a little wider split, okay? And then we filter in the pass protection splits with it so the defense can't really get a handle on it.
Hey, Bob Olin here. Thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Before we get
you're welcome.
Before we get to a few, I'm sure a few stories are going to embarrass the hell out of me. can you, a thing that everybody talks about now, Bob, and you probably explain it better than anybody, is this outside zone scheme that Juan Castillo brought over to add to Nagy's offense, and how do you package that with pass plays? Could you just kind of give us a history on outside zone real quick, what it is and how they can package pass plays with it to really attack the defense and put the ball in the end zone?
Okay. The first thing is the outside zone play came Howard, God rest his soul again, God bless him, right? He was running the zone plays up in Seattle years and years ago, okay? He had the inside zone play and the outside zone play, okay? And teams started to pick it up and run it. And then Alex Gibbs, when he was with the Denver Broncos, kind of tweaked it a little bit, okay? And that's what everybody's trying to copy is what Alex did in Denver, because he had adequate backs, and for whatever reason, that play just kept working, okay? So the back, right, is going to line up at his depth, 6.5 to 7.5 yards deep. Some backs get deeper. I know when we had McFadden in Oakland, he was so fast that I had to back him up to slow him down because he kept running by the cuts, okay? So we're going to run, and everybody has a little tweak to it. We used to run right at the butt of the tight end. Some guys will run 1 yard outside the tight end, okay? Some guys will run to the inside leg of the tight end. It's whatever they believe in, okay? And so it's going to have a slashing effect to the linebackers, whether they're going to play it downhill or they're going to try to run over the top, okay? And then it becomes a theory of expanding angles, okay, where the linemen are going to run off the ball, okay? And say your right tackle and tight end, okay, they're going to try to get their helmets from the armpit to the shoulder, okay? They're going to have, we call it a grab inside hand. They're going to try to get their inside hand up underneath the pad, of the inside pad of the defender, and they're going to grab that, and they're going to be running and trying to pull the guy with them, okay? And the faster that guy runs, and it's not really knocking them so much off the ball as it is expanding them. And the back, what the back does is he's going to read, not the Sam linebacker, if it's an under defense, he's reading the defensive end, okay? And if it's a four-man line, he's reading the defensive end that's lined up on the tight end. If that guy expands, then his eyes go right back to number two. So they always number the guys. That guy's number one. If he expands, his eyes go right to two. What's two doing, okay? Is two expanding, right? Then he's going to play on the fifth step. He's got one cut. On the fifth step, he's going to plant that upfield leg, right? He's going to cut straight up the field. They don't cut back. They cut up. But what it looks like to the people that are watching it, to the fans and the media, right, what the guys are doing, they're actually bringing their defenders to the read spot of the back. Who's the back reading? Okay, and if that guy's expanding, I got to bring my guy to that guy, and the ball goes behind it, okay? So that's kind of a quick, explanation of what's happening back there. If it's under defense, then the back's reading the five technique on the tackle. Okay, if that guy's expanding, his eyes are going to the nose guard. Okay, if that guy's expanding, right, he's going to plant his foot and come behind that block. Okay, and so they're trying to get the defense to run. The more the defensive runs, the more the holes open because the angles expand because they got, the people don't always run as fast. people don't always stay in a gap like they should. You know, they always don't play the way they should play it. I think when people say, do your job, I hate when people say you have to make a play. I don't like that. If you just do your job, okay, right, then the plays will come. The plays will happen. If you put the ball on a 50-yard line and everybody did their job, the ball wouldn't move. The ball would stay on the 50-yard line for the whole game. There's no way the ball would move if you punted it, right? But somebody doesn't do their job. Somebody doesn't cover a gap. Somebody runs too far. Somebody doesn't cover a receiver the right way, right? So now what's happening is people are catching the ball. People are running through lanes, or the defense is stopping you because they're in a position to do what they're supposed to do in their jobs. Right now, you take that one play, that's that one play, and then you add out-of-pocket protections to it, okay? So you want to put the defense in a conflict of assignment. You want that guy, did he hand the ball off, or is he keeping the ball, and he's going to boot out with it, okay? And he's going to go, sometimes they call, some teams call nakeds where the quarterback keeps the ball. Other teams call it keepers. Now, it depends where you're running it to a tight end or whether you're running it away from the tight end. Yes.
Coach, it's Patrick here. I got to cut you off because you can talk coach speak all day long, and I love it, and I love hearing your voice. But we only get you for a certain amount of time here, and we got to get to some stories. We got to take some of these listeners into your amazing O-line meeting. So first off, I got to say thanks for letting a long snapper hang out all those years in there and still continue with my love of playing O-line. But you built a unit. I learned this, you know, probably second year after Tony Wise. I really didn't know what was going on my rookie year. But being there with you, you took it to a new level. You took it to building a unit, not just learning all the X's and O's you're talking about there, but you brought everybody together by having fun, however it was. But how fun was it for you just to go into meetings every day and put a smile on our face and also teach us?
I always believe, Pat, that players don't care how much you know. They don't. They really don't. Players care how much you care. Okay? And once you have established the rapport that you really care about them as people first, okay, right, and then players second, the players will do really anything you ask them to do, okay? But you have to establish that with them and show them it's not a facade, it's not a fake thing, okay? Right, and I think people, there's lighter moments in the game. The game's got enough pressure in itself. It takes a lot of work just to make a yard. You know what I mean? So if you keep pounding the players, okay, eventually it gets really boring, okay? And so you have to have the lighter moments with the kids, right? To have a, you know, to have a more relaxed atmosphere, right? And it's not going to be as heavy on them as some of the other guys from the old school. I was not like that. I wanted a room to be light, to be lively. I wanted the room to have fun, okay? But I also wanted the room to be tough, physical, intelligent players, right, that played hard, okay? It gave great effort, and that's what we established there, okay? And by doing that, I don't think you do it by killing the guys. I really don't. I think there's a point in time where you've got to put the pads on and buckle your chin strap and beat the hell out of each other, and then I think there's a point in time where you need to back off them. You can't keep killing them every day, okay? You end up, to the end of the season, you have them beat up. And you need them to play on Sundays, whether it's really important that they play. So you have to create that atmosphere with them in the room.
So, Bob, let me, first of all, I got to break in real quick, guys. There's a report now from Adam Schefter that Julio Jones is out today. And so if that happens, that is bad news. We never want to see anybody injured, but, of course, it's good news for the Chicago Bears. And we're visiting with Bob Wiley, former offensive line coach of the Chicago Bears, 40 years coaching offensive linemen around the NFL and the CFL. And Bob, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I'm not going to let you go without at least one of your best stories that'll embarrass the hell out of Olin Cruz. So, yeah, I mean, Olin brought it up, but he opened the door. We got to go.
Let me go through the Rolodex first. I tell you one of the better ones is a call. I'll give you two quick ones, right? Because I know you guys are running out of time here. My first year there, right? I'm going through everything, and I'm right coaching the line, and we get to the preseason, and it's under, we got Casey Wigman, and we got Olin Cruz.
Man.
So I'm trying to figure out, okay, who's going to, they're both young players, they're both good young players. Who am I going to start in the first preseason game, blah, 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 blah. Right? So I decide I'm going to start Casey. Okay? So I tell Owen, I said, Owen, look, I'm going to start Casey this week. And we're in the meeting room, and Owen got so mad, he takes the door, he opens the door to the meeting room, and he flings it back, right? And it crashes through the door stop, and makes with the doorknob makes a great big hole in the wall. I said to myself, I guess he's a little upset.
And I believe we left that hole there for quite a while.
Yes, we did. Right. Now, another time, I'm sitting in my office. Okay, now we're trying to make the line call. Chris Ferrario, the white guy, he would never talk through the whole game. He never talked, right? So he wasn't going to make any line calls, right? And the tackles, it's tough for the tackles to make line calls, right? And so I'm trying to get everybody to make the line calls they're supposed to make. And, you know, after we were in training camp, I think it was the first or second game of the season, Owen comes in my office and he sits down. I said, okay, what's your problem now? He goes, can I make the line calls? Can I do everything? I said, okay, you got it. You do everything, okay? You got the whole thing. A to Z, ball of wax, all yours, all right? So I go in a meeting room. I sit down. Owen stands up, and he goes, okay, it's my line, okay? Right, you guys listen to what I'm telling you. I'm making all the line calls. The rest of you guys, shut your mouth.
Fact. That's a fact.
Right? I don't remember these stories.
He said, that's it. I'm making all the line calls. You guys, shut up. Right? And then even Jimmy Miller's the quarterback, right? And so Owen was really good, right, at the blitzes. He knew the blitzes better than the quarterbacks did, all right? He could recognize the blitz, see where it's coming from. Right, all five guys found the safeties. We knew where the safeties were, what the front was going to do. And then Jimmy Miller, he just come to the line of scrimmage and he'd ask Owen, hey, Owen, am I okay here? And Owen go, yep, okay, let's go. Owen would do the whole deal. It was great.
Well, Bob, we really appreciate you doing the whole deal with us this morning. I wish we had more time. We're going to have to do this again and get into more stories. Also, like a clinic, learning about offensive line coaching, the new zone read offenses and RPO. Thank you so much for taking time.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime.
Thanks, Bob.
In fact, Pat Manley was the fine master. Well, he used to find
that's
the
right. Pat would that's
collect
right.
All, he'd collect all the cash in his box. He'd have a little box there. He'd collect all the cash in his box. Hey, guys, it was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Okay?
Bob, thank you so much for
always good to
us.
Hear your voice.
That is Bob Wiley, longtime NFL and CFL offensive line coach. We're going to take a break. When we're going to get back, we're going to find out what Manley did with all that fine money. I'm assuming it got to the right place. I'm sure it did. No, we've got Mark Grody waiting in the wings, and we should have something definitive. But there are reports that Julio Jones will not go for the Atlanta Falcons today. That's a big, big deal. We'll find out what else we know about actives and inactives, as well as get Mark's report from what went on at Halas Hall all week long. That's next right here on the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show at 670 The Score.
We're back with Grody on the Field, Chicago Bears sideline reporter for WBBM News, Mark Grody. Getting the latest information and stories leading up to game time. Brought to you by Bet Rivers. Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back, everybody, and we're going to have to get a second promo cut because when the Bears are at home, we've got Grody on the Field. But today with the Bears in Atlanta, we've got Grody on the couch, which is just as good, absolutely just as good. Mark, of course, with the Bears all week long, our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at 670 The Score. When the Bears, normal circumstances, always on the sidelines, part of the broadcast at our sister station, WBBM Radio News, News Radio 780 or 105.9 on your FM dial. Mark, like all of us, dealing with the strange public health crisis and new rules these days. But, you know, Mark, I know you've been with the ball club all week long. They are remarkably healthy while the Atlanta Falcons are remarkably banged up, and we are getting reports that Julio Jones will not go today. I don't know if you have any clarity yet on that, on actives and inactives.
I can confirm that for you. I have learned that Julio Jones is definitely out for the Atlanta Falcons because of that hamstring strain. So just a huge break for the Bears. Obviously, there's still a lot to deal with in the person of Calvin Ridley. They'll have to be alert for him, and he is terrific as well. But that is a big, big loss for Atlanta again. And not to mention the fact that Atlanta, too, popping up on their injury report again is Kendall Sheffield, who a projected starter at cornerback, a starting safety. Ricardo Allen is out. Linebacker Foye Olukunin is out as well. So this would be the day for the Bears offense to do what they haven't done so far this year, and that's put four quarters together. And in particular, one area that you could look at that Atlanta is really bad is in the red zone. They are last in the league in a red zone defense. The Bears so far in the red zone are 3-for-6. So this is a big chance for the Bears to get well there. And what Matt Nagy was stressing right after the game last week, fresh off a win, Matt Nagy was saying, I want more explosive plays. He said, that's what we're going to work on this week. We'll see if they exploit that. Heck, maybe we see, you know, Darnell Mooney on a go route this week as opposed to some of the possession stuff that he's been doing so far for the Bears.
Hey, Mark, do you know this morning we woke up and we, I guess it was with the bed last night with A.J. Terrell having COVID, going on the COVID list. And then we woke up this morning with NFL reports saying the game will go on. Do you have any idea or any insight to that, to maybe how close it was to not taking place, or, you know, anything in that regard?
From what I understand, it wasn't that close to getting negated. I think that was an assumption that a lot of people jumped to. And I understand, justifiably, just because, you know, he practiced with those guys the other day. So the assumption was, or the thought was, well, somebody else probably got infected along the way. Maybe a lot of guys got infected along the way just because of the contact in the air during practice. But, you know, from most of the reports that I saw and some people that I spoke to, too, this was never really close. And there was kind of a lot of drama built up. And I don't want to dog those people necessarily, because I do understand. I mean, it all medically and scientifically, it makes sense to be concerned about it. It would have been interesting to see what they, like, if there had been more positive tests, Patrick, I just wonder what they would have, like, if would they have canceled? Let's say 10 guys mm-hmm. were tested positive. Then do you just unleash the practice squad, or do you postpone the game and try to do it on another day? I'm glad we didn't have to find out, but it would have been interesting to have found out.
Yeah, and then if his teammates don't have it, then the question is, where did he get it from? But then I don't want to know. But anyway, Grody, so, you know, before I kind of let it go, because I just figured that they thought somebody else was better or something had happened, but then they re-signed Tariq Cohen, and now they want more explosive plays. So I'm trying to figure out if around the team why they aren't using him in the manner that he has been used before when he was explosive. Why they don't throw him more screens? Why they won't line him up receiver and let him take the top off the defense? Because he has shown that he can do that. I mean, have they talked about using him more at all around Hallis Hall?
Not a lot, Olin. That's a great question, because in 2018, defenses had to account for Tariq Cohen. That was always a concern of defensive coordinators that year. Watch that guy. And it seemed like, to some extent, even towards the end of 2018, and then obviously last year in 2019, defenses were like, okay, we're going to take Tariq Cohen out of this. And then they've kind of left him alone to where they're not doubling him or showing the same concern they had showed for him early in 2018. So you would think that Cohen would, you know, be more versatile and be a bigger part of the receiving game. The surprising part to me is that Tariq Cohen has been as big a part of the running game still, and he's been decent between the tackles. But this is, I think that's on Matt Nagy, Owen. I think that he's got this weapon. He's got this guy who is top three in speed on the Bears team. That's on Nagy to find a way to scheme him open. You know, this is a coach whose life's blood is offense and coming up with unique ways to get guys open and to put points on the board. And he was good with it in 2018, but since then he has not been good at getting Tariq Cohen open. But again, I guess today would be the day.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm not so sure, because I'm looking at the full, you know, inactive list. And after being inactive last week, it looks like Ted Ginn Jr. has his jersey back this week. And, you know, the other guy who's now inactive the third straight week, and this is a story, it's not the main story of the Chicago Bears right now, but it is kind of curious. At this point, we have to wonder what Riley Ridley's future is with the Chicago Bears. Inactive a third straight week. To me, it's relevant because his brother, Calvin, is going to be the number one receiver on the field for the Falcons. I'm sure that he wanted very much to be able to play in this football game. And it just looks like the numbers game is killing him. You know, last week, he had Allen Robinson with an off week. Anthony Miller flat out had a bad game. It's pretty obvious that Darnell Mooney is the number three receiver right now. You've got Javon Wims making plays. Ginn's going to be back out there. And Cordarrelle Patterson is both a running back and a wide receiver. And now, as Olin points out, Tariq Cohn, who along with Patterson is probably your most dangerous threat, it's almost like they've got too many guys and they don't know which ones to focus on.
Yeah, Hub, it's a great point. And actually, I spoke to Riley Ridley on the phone within the last 24 hours, and he told me the following. He said, this is a quote to me from Riley Ridley. He said, it's been a process, and that's what I'm sticking to. I'm just trusting the process. Ridley goes on to say, as of right now, I'm told to trust the process and show the coaches that I can do it and that I'm a part of it. He says, I believe in me no matter what's going on around me. I know what I can do. I know my skill set, close quote. And Hub and guys, I think part of the problem too is that there's just too much repetition with that type of wide receiver. Javon Wims flat out beat him out during camp. He's that big bodied receiver, just like Riley Ridley is. That's what Allen Robinson is too. Allen Robinson is a possession wide receiver with the big body to go up and get it. Now you bring in Darnell Mooney, and they kind of forced him along because they're like, we got to get this speed out here. And Ted Ginn Jr. obviously brings the same thing too. So it's when Matt Nagy says, and he did say this week, it is a numbers game. It is, that's one time when you actually believe a head coach, because it is a numbers game. I mean, how do you, Hub? I don't know how you would justify putting Riley Ridley in, as much as I'd like to see what he can do, and I think a lot of Bears fans would like to see what he could do. I don't know that any of those other guys that are active, you would want to be the ones that are taking the hit over Javon Wims at this point, especially considering what Darnell Mooney has proven through the first 2 weeks of his career.
Well, it's going to get very interesting, Mark, because if he doesn't have a big bounce back game this week, is what I'm trying to say, Anthony Miller may be the guy that you're starting to look at, because Mooney and Wims are making plays. It's hard for me to imagine that after Miller going to camp as your number two receiver, but we'll see what happens out there today. Mark, we got to run. I know you know this clock as well as anybody. Thank you so much. Grody on the field, a regular feature of our Bet River Sportsbook pregame show. We need to take a commercial break. We're 2 hours in the books, guys. I'll say it again. I don't know how this flies by as quickly as it does. On the other side, we are back with our Bet Rivers Plays of the Week, and I'll tease it for you a little bit. Both Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley are hot. I am not. We'll talk about that in just a moment right here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.